independence. What an amazing, what an incredible concept that must have been 250 years ago. Now, look, now seriously, right now, we sort of use that word so very, very carelessly today. But 250 years ago, the concept of independence to the colonists must have been the true meaning of the word incredible, which is kind of unbelievable. And for them, the concept of breaking free from England, which was the world superpower of the time, I mean, there were a couple of minor players, France and Spain, you know, that kind of thought maybe they were, you know, up there, but England really was the superpower. And for these colonies who were separated by hundreds and even in some cases, you know, over 1,000 miles, with their only method of communication being a guy on a horseback, you know, can you imagine the thought of taking on the world superpower with the military when you basically, your only weapons for them were what they shot squirrels with and rabbits with? I mean, that's what they had. And so for them, if we could go back in time and picture, why would they do that? Why would you, what possible chance could you think you could ever have against a superpower? How could they even organize themselves into an army, much less fight a war for something that we call independence? Well, I think it's just simply because they understood something that we take for granted, I think, and I think we often use it very tritely. I think we know it's true, but we don't live like it, and that is, they recognized if God wants this, it will happen. It doesn't matter how impossible it may seem. If God wants it, if God chooses to get involved. And so the issue for them was, you know, well, in fact, we'll just let Jesus say it this way. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 26, here's what the colonists, our forefathers knew. Here's why they were willing to go up against all odds. Because they knew Jesus said this one time to his disciples. Jesus looked at them and said, with men, yeah, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Now, the key words, I believe, are what I've italicized in this verse for you. They didn't come in Scripture this way. I did this because I want to draw attention to that. There is a huge difference between trying to do things with men and trying to do something with God. You see, with men, there's a whole lot of very, very impossible things. And there's a lot of very seemingly impossible things, like saving a marriage, like rearing kids in some form or fashion in this world, like paying your rent on August 1st or July. You know, I get that. But there's a big difference between that with men. It may be impossible with people. But if God chooses to do it, if God chooses to get involved, then he said that all things are possible. Now, this is one of those contrast verses. This is one of those verses where we have to look at it. We have to say, okay, so there's a clear choice here. We either do it with God or we do it without God. Well, I know that seems very obvious, but I'm gonna say it again. I would like for you to really consider and think about it. Because we do a lot of things in our lives, don't we? My question is, are we doing them with God? That means with God's okay, with God's approval, something God likes, something God would like to be involved in, something God would approve of, something that would be something that God would say, give a thumbs up to. Or are we doing things that God would say, I can't be involved in that. I can't be involved in that. And so even some good things, and I'll talk about these, I'll give some examples here in a minute, but even some good things in our lives, we still have to make a choice. Do I want God to be involved in this, or do I want to try this on my own? So, you know, we've heard this in a lot of ways, but what I want to do this morning to really kind of develop this is really just to look at the context in which it was written. We always want to do that. So let's take a look at whom Jesus was talking and what really was the subject that he was talking about. So let's go back a few verses, and let's go back to verse number 23. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, now here's one of the, he's using an illustration here that's really, really, probably one of the strangest illustration that you'll hear in Scripture. He said that a rich man shall hardly, and what he meant was, it's going to be really hard for him, with enormous difficulty, will he enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'll come back to that. But he said a rich man's going to have a really, really hard time. Verse 24, And again, now he illustrates it. He said, again, I say to you, and many of you have heard this illustration before. He said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, if you've been in church much, you've probably heard a lot of illustrations. Maybe they try to explain that away. Well, you know, the needle could have been the opening to the gate. And, you know, and you've heard, there's probably some great spiritual applications. But the truth is, the word needle, if you look it up in the Greek, it means a needle. It means like what you sew with. And the word camel, it means a camel. Okay, I went to a seminary, so you know I've become an expert, and I can tell you that the word camel means camel, and needle means needle. So basically, what he was saying was, yeah, it's pretty much impossible. Pretty much impossible. This is what led him to. And in fact, notice then the disciples' reaction to this, because they just heard him make this ridiculous statement. In their mind, he basically just said, "There's no way a rich guy's going to get into heaven. No way." And so here's what the disciples said. They heard it, and they were exceedingly amazed, and they said, well, who then can be saved? They're like, see, they were incredulous. They're like, well, isn't that kind of like saying that nobody can be? I mean, who can possibly? Now, why would they be so incredulous about a rich person not being able to get into heaven? And I'll tell you why. Because back in that day, it was the wealthy people who really were the ones who were independent. They were the ones who had access to all the religious people. They were the ones who really were what they might call free. And he was talking about all this. And that's when he then came to that last verse when he said, you know, when he was talking about this. Well, I'll come back to that in just a minute. You see, they understood something better than most of us. See, we think that we have it all. We think that we, okay, as an illustration, we all think we own a house. Many of us. We say, yeah, I own a house. Do you? No. Or does the bank own your house? Yeah. Oh, well, I just owe a little bit left on my house. Okay, well, try not making those payments and let's see who owns your house. I own a car. Do you? Well, I've just got a couple of payments left. And well, don't make those payments and see who owns your car. You see, here's the thing. There is no such thing as partial freedom. See, we get these ideas that we have things and we own things. Back in the Bible day, these were the people who felt like they had it all together. The rich people had it all together. They're the ones who were free. They didn't owe anybody anything. They had all these and so that's kind of the thinking there. And Jesus said, "Look, you don't understand a fundamental concept. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what position you have. It doesn't matter who you are. There's really probably no such thing as true, or freedom isn't necessarily mean that you don't have somebody that you're dependent on." That was the point that he was making. He was saying that, you know, there's no such thing as partial independence. Independence is never absolute. Just because we're independent, here's the point Jesus was making. He said, just because you're independent doesn't mean that you're not obligated to somebody. Like, I'm bringing in America's independence here. See, just because America is independent now, because of our forefathers, we're willing to take that risk, which again, I'll come back to, that doesn't mean that we're not dependent upon somebody. That doesn't mean that we are not obligated. You know, we like to say that we live in a free country, right? We are an independent nation. You understand that we owe trillions of dollars to places like China. We're anything but independent. And this is the thinking, though, that gets into our heads sometimes. And we think, well, look, I'm free. I can do whatever I want to. We can do whatever we want to because we do have, or to some degree, because we do have some freedom. But that doesn't mean that we're not obligated to someone. Now, my question is, okay, so for your home, for your car, for my home, my car, we're not obligated to God for those things, but we are certainly obligated to a bank. But there are some things that we're free to do, but that doesn't mean that we're not obligated to God for how we do them. Amen. This is the point Jesus was making. This is what I'm trying to get to. And I feel like I went a long way around it and lost some of you because I didn't word it very well. But Jesus was saying, look, you understand, you're going to be obligated to somebody. The freedom you and I really have is we get to choose to whom we're going to be obligated. I can obligate myself to God. I can recognize God in my life. I can bring God into my life and into my affairs, or I can leave him out. If I choose to leave him out, I'm still not free. All that means is I'm obligated to somebody else. and something else. So let me just touch on a few things to help clear that up so that we understand. You see, being American doesn't necessarily imply true freedom. Neither does being a Christian imply true freedom. Now, some of the things that has built this church is that we try to be very, very non-judgmental. We try to be very non-preachy. We try. We're doing okay with that, right? When I say we, I mean me. But it sounds better to say we. But look, we try not to do that. You know, a lot of people like to come here because they say, you know what, it's nice. It's not real churchy. You're not preaching at people and you're not telling them what to do. But please don't think that that means that there aren't some things that God has expectations of us for. Amen. Just like the fact that all you have to do is be born in America to be a citizen or go through a process like Marianne did. And by the way, if you weren't born in America, like the song sang about a little bit ago, you can still be born again in America. Amen. Just throw that out there. But look, you know, that's all we have to do to that. And all we have to do to become a Christian is to accept what Jesus did. But just because you're born in America doesn't mean that you have total freedom, and I have total freedom to do anything we want to in this country. We're still all obligated to be good citizens. And when you accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are also obligated to be good representatives of Him. Amen. That comes with an obligation. An obligation to exercise this freedom that we have that is supposed to glorify Him. So Jesus was very clearly here speaking about salvation. He was talking about someone getting something like salvation for free. So this is the disciples' question in verse 25 when they said, who then can be saved? That's what brought Jesus then to this. Watch verse 26 then. So that's when he looked at them and he said, with men, this. So what's the this? The this is salvation. He said, look, you can be saved. You can be born again. You can whatever words you want to use for it. You can get a free ticket into heaven basically because of God, and you can't do it on your own. He said, with men, that's impossible. So look, if you came in here this morning and you thought you could somehow earn your way to heaven, please understand, Jesus very clearly said, you can't do this, it's impossible for you. It is impossible for you. It is impossible for you to earn your way to heaven, it's impossible for you to buy your way to heaven, it's impossible for you to be good enough. You can't do that. He said, but that's okay, with men it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. So he was saying that salvation is kind of a guarantee, but notice he expanded then the benefit. And this is really what I wanted to show you this morning. See, with God, salvation is guaranteed, but everything else is possible. Can we go back to the verse here? And notice in verse number 26, he said, but with God, look what he said. He said all things. Do you see the difference there? He said, salvation is one thing. With men, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible, but they're not guaranteed. Now look, what he's saying is, with men, there are some things that are possible. Salvation is not one of them. There are some things that are possible. You could do some things on your own. Look, our worship leaders could get up here and sing on their own, but they can't lead worship without God. Are you with me on that? See, our musicians can play an instrument on their own with their own abilities and their own talents, but they can't lead worship without God being involved. I could get up here and tell you some jokes, and I could put together something. I could make fun of a couple of you, and that's basically what a message is around here. Tell a few jokes, make fun of. Where is John Skeens? Oh, there he is. I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to wake you up. Make fun of a few people, hit a couple of points out of Scripture, read a couple of verses out of context, and there's your message. I could do that on my own. I have a brain. I can prepare that, but I can't. Remember what I said about it's nice to have you back? I take that back. Look, but I can't share a message from God without God. It's not going to change anything in any of us. Look, anything I do is not going to change any of us. It's the Holy Spirit that has to change all of us. Amen. I'm just the body up here breathing and speaking. It could be anybody up here. And so the point is, there are things we can do on our own. Salvation is impossible with men, but with God, what I want us to get a hold of today, and I just want to ask a question here in a minute, but with God, all things are possible. See, he expanded it broadly by saying, it's not just about whether or not you go to heaven. There are some things on this earth that I think you might like to have, that you might like to do, people you might like to influence, family that you might like to be a blessing to, people you might like to help rescue out of addiction. Maybe you want to get out of addiction. Maybe you want to get your finances in order. Maybe you want to stop being a slave to the credit cards and to this and to that. Maybe you want to stop being a slave to your passions and your lusts and all the things you can't seem to break away from. Maybe you want to be able to get away from that computer more than you do. Maybe you want to be not so depressed all the time and suffer with this feeling all the time. You know, my point is, God has opened up the gate, and he said, salvation is the only thing that you have to have me for, but everything else, I want you to want me for. I want you to want me to be involved in your financial recovery, in your drug addiction recovery, because frankly, without me, it's going to be really, really hard. In fact, most things are going to be impossible. You ever try to break a bad habit? Do you ever have a bad habit that you... By the way, Bill Fowler, I am so proud of you. I haven't heard you click a pen in a long time. I don't know how you broke that bad habit, but we were having to think we might have to ask you to leave. Bill's a thinker. He's always been a thinker. And by the way, if you've got questions about the Bible, Bill is probably the guy to go ask. And he's got a lot of things going on in that brain. But that was one thing he used to do. He used to click a pen all the time. You know, and many of you remember that. And he hasn't done that in a while. But you know, it's hard to break a habit. I don't care what the habit is. It's hard to break. How many of you are trying to stop cussing so much? Don't raise your hand. Never mind. Because the ones who are the worst at it, they're not trying to stop. So, look, but it's hard to break habits. Some things are possible, but God said, look, I want you to let me be involved in all of this. You know, Jesus could have worded it, you know, differently. He could have said, look, salvation is the guaranteed part. I'll guarantee you salvation, but everything else is going to require some work. Our forefathers, again, so let me bring this all together now. So our forefathers, these colonists who were faced with this seemingly impossible thing, how could they even conceive of trying to gather themselves into an army, a bunch of farmers, a bunch of, you know, I mean, really, that's all they were, farmers. You had a few cities, a few towns. You might have some blacksmiths here and there and all that, but mostly they were just farmers. How could they even think about gathering their whatever little weapons they had together, gathering themselves into an army, following a general, or, you know, getting this? How could they even conceive that? They just believed this. Here's what they believed. They believed that with God, it wasn't a guarantee, but it was possible. Watch me, please. Not because of me, because I want you to get this truth. They believed with God it was possible, even though it wasn't guaranteed, if they would be willing to work at it. Now, what is it in your life that may seem, maybe it's, again, I don't know what it is. I am going to be really, really, really focused on trying to get much healthier between now and Christmas. In fact, I'm going to put out a challenge to all of you. I dare you. I think I can lose more pounds than you can bring first-time guests as a church between now and Christmas. And I dare you. I dare you. What is it in your life that seems like it's going to be, man, I just don't know if it's even possible. It is possible. I could never quit smoking. Yes, you can. Again, please understand, we're always going to have butt cans out here. You older ladies, you know what I mean by butt cans, right? That's a term. That's an okay term to use. That's where you put your cigarette butts, because we want you to keep your butts off the sidewalk. But you can do that. It's possible. It is possible.
That's right.
It is possible. Hey, it's possible to get rid of whatever addiction is going on. It's not possible for me to get my... I can't even pay my rent next month. How am I supposed to get my finances? I'm just telling you it's possible. I didn't say you can see how it's going to happen. I didn't say that you know it's going to happen. Because look, it's not a guarantee. Even if God gets involved, it's not a guarantee. The only guarantee is salvation. I'm just being real plain with you. But it is possible. our colonists, our forefathers, thought the payoff was worth the impossible risk. They looked at it and said, look, if we lose it, you understand what they would have lost if they had lost? Think about the ramifications if our forefathers had lost the Revolutionary War. They went up against the king who could have simply said, kill them all. Take everything they have, kill their families, we'll start over with a whole bunch of new people. They could have done that. They could have been slaves from that point on. They could have lost everything. They could have lost their whatever they were building to trying to own. They could have lost all that to the king. I mean, look, they had a lot to lose. But they said, real freedom is only going to be found if God gets involved. And if God wants this, then it's possible. So I ask, what is it in your life, in my life, that seems like it's impossible? Well, the reason it seems impossible is because you haven't considered including God in it. So can I just make some practical applications and we'll go home? You want to get out of debt? You want to improve your finances? I'm just going to be truthful with you. It seems logical. Well, the only way I can do that is if I just don't do anything else, and that includes don't give to God's work. You will not improve your financial situation if you leave God's work out of it. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. Look, you know this is not a, we do not, you know, I don't, I'm not asking you for money. We're not that kind of church. This is not a money-grubbing church. Our offerings are probably half or a third of what most churches our size are because we don't do that. We don't believe in twisting somebody's arm. But I'm telling you, if you want financial freedom and independence, you will not get it without God being involved. Amen. That's what he said. He said, include me. Include my work in what you're doing. If you want a family relationship, marriage, if your marriage is struggling, can I ask you, how involved is God in it? How involved is God in it? If God, amen, thank you very much. That's what he's saying. I can understand it clearly. Actually, he's saying, I'm hungry, enough's enough. Wrap it up. Look, seriously. Your marriage, you want to try to do it on your own? You want to try to do it on your own? It's possible. Please give me, look, we're just going to be real here for a minute, and we're going to go home. It is possible for you to stay married without God, but it's not very likely, and if God is involved, then it can be tremendous. Because with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Parents and children, you know, we could talk about a lot of different kind of illustrations. You know, we just talk about many, many things. But the thing is, you know, okay, how about your career? You want your career to be successful. I would like to never have to meet somebody who says, no, I don't want my career to be successful. Everybody wants their career to be successful, yes? You can make it your top priority. You can make your job your number one priority. You can let it take the place of everything else in your life, take the place of your family. You can let it take the place of being involved in church, doing God's work, all those things. You can do that, and you might be successful. But you'll find that if you include God in that, if you make God more important than your job, it's very, very possible that you might end up getting both. Because when God gets involved, all things are possible. You could have everything. You see, if we want to do it on our own, I think sometimes we have to choose because we can't be good at everything, can we? You cannot be an attentive, constantly focused father. I mean, make my children, you know, so important, make my wife so important, do everything there, and make your job important, the number one priority. You can't have two number one priorities. Right? So a lot of men or a lot of women have to choose between parenthood or being a spouse and being a great employee. But there is a third option. You could make God your only priority, and with him, both of those can become great. Because he can make that, he can make you great at your job and make you a great parent and friend and church member. And ministry worker, and all those things. This is really what it comes down to. It just simply, God, I heard there's a great pastor named Charles Stanley. Laura, you know who Charles Stanley is. Your granddaughter goes to his church. He one time, and I'm probably going to butcher this, but he said something one time. He said, God takes, I want to get this right. I'll have to look it up to do a better job with it. But he basically said, God takes full responsibility for a life fully devoted to him. I think that's right. He said, God takes full responsibility for a life fully devoted to him. So, you and I can run around. We can choose. Make my job the most important. I'll find some career success and freedom, some independence there. Or I can make my family the most important. I can find some, you know, maybe get some notoriety for being a great dad or great this or that. Or I can become the most fit. Look, you can neglect your family and your job and go to the gym every day and work out for 6 hours. Your health can be just tops, and everybody can look at you and say, kind of the way you look at me, and say, say, oh man, I wish I had that body. Tim, come on, dude. But you got to choose one of those things. Or we can say, God, can I just make my life devoted to you? And then would you help me in all these multitude of areas in my life? Because there's never going to be a time where we're totally independent, never be able to do anything on our own. We're always going to be obligated, dependent upon somebody. I don't want to be dependent upon a human boss. I don't want to be dependent upon a bank and something like that. I want to be dependent upon God, because he'll take full responsibility then for my life in all those other areas. We can try it on our own, and it's possible some things, but for the most part, I think we should claim the promise that God made here, that if you'll just make me your priority, everything else is possible. Everything's possible. Whatever that thing is you want most in life right now, that you think is impossible, it's not impossible. It's not. It seems that way because you're thinking about doing it on your own. And I love you so much. And I want some of you to have these things that are so important to you. Please let God be a part of it. Bring him in. If you're not sure how to do that, let's get together and talk. Talk to somebody here who knows, somebody who's been here. If you're struggling with sobriety and you think, man, I just don't know how to do it, talk to Chad. He's here now. He can tell you. Nobody struggled more than he did. Nobody had a bigger demon to fight than he had. He can do that. You're struggling with you know, maybe a drug addiction, talk to Glenn back here. Nobody had a bigger demon than he did. And he's winning. Do you know why? Because he made sure through all the stuff, he has stayed tied in to God. Right. And I'm going to be honest with you, and this sounds like typical pastor junk, but I'm going to tell you the truth. If you don't do it through a local church, you won't do it. You can have a relationship with God outside of a church. I get that. But you probably won't. Am I right about that? You probably won't. Because we need each other to help each other stay focused and get God involved. Father, I thank you.